Well, we're getting near the end of our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, and several of you have said that you've benefited from it, and some have said that you've enjoyed it, and all these mean a great deal to me because I want you to learn, and I don't want you to be bored by what we do, although whenever you preach the Bible, you can't guarantee what reaction people are going to have. But it is, I think, a very profitable study, and we have just chapter 12 left after this afternoon, and it's really the summation of all that we've studied up until this point, that is the last chapter. So I know that as we go into this last chapter next Sunday morning, that we'll begin to see fruition of the groundwork that we've laid for several Sundays. Now in chapter 11 and verse 7, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. There's a great deal said today about depression, which can lead to even more serious problems. And one of the early signs of depression is the fact that you don't want to get up. Now, that doesn't mean that when you don't want to get up that you're soon to be mentally ill, because I think most of the time we may not want to get up. But the idea is this: if the world has become so frustrating, or your work has become such a burden, or just being alive is so discouraging that you'd rather just leave the door shut, you'd rather leave the blinds pulled so that the room stays dark, you simply don't want to get out and meet people, you don't want to go to the grocery store, you just don't want to go anywhere and see anyone, then that is a sign that there's the beginning of a real serious problem. Well, our writer approaches that from the opposite side. He states that truly light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. So he's not presenting a person here who had rather stay in bed or rather not step out into the daylight and meet that particular day with all of the problems that it may hold. But here's a fella, and this is a young man, incidentally, a young person, who gets out of bed and who's invigorated by the very fact that he or she is alive. It's just great to be alive. The sun is shining. My eyes are filled with the sunlight. And this is a great day. And you just want to almost break out singing and maybe to run a few miles and just enjoy the health that you have, the opportunities you have. It's sort of a rare feeling that a person has from time to time and generally experienced in your youth. You may be able to recall, or maybe it's just been a little time ago that you actually felt this way in a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or sometime during the week. It was really just wonderful to be alive. Everything was going your way. You were, quote, sitting on top of the world, didn't have any pains, you had enough money, you had friends. It was a good life, and you were just thrilled to be alive. Truly, the light is sweet. That is life, I think, here is what he means. And a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. It's great to be alive. But if a man live many years like this, that's the idea. If you live many, many years like that, with that kind of attitude, with everything breaking your way and really enjoying things and succeeding in the things you do, he says, remember. Yet let him remember the days of darkness. That is, let him remember that there will be days of darkness, and that days of darkness lie ahead. No matter how many years we may walk in the glory of our youth, or we may walk in the power and strength of a body that is filled with health and vigor and vitality and life with friends and family and things going well, climbing the ladder of success with hardly a break in your rhythm. Even if you do this for a long period of time with hardly any interruptions, just remember that there's darkness ahead. Why does he say that? Is he being pessimistic? No, he's being a realist. He's saying if you could live your life this way, just remember that the grave is still at the end of your life, just like it is for everyone else. That this is not going to change the reality of death. It's not going to change the fact that God will bring, will bring all things to an end. For they shall be many. That is, dark days will come to your life, even though you've had many years of a great life, and all that cometh is vanity. That is, all of your life will end, and when it ends, then things will simply be vanity or emptiness or without particular meaning. So as we've looked at the things that have been taught in this book, you've seen that his idea is that you try and you try and sometimes you fail. You try and you try and life goes on. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But then every life ends the same way. It ends in the grave. And this is frustrating. It doesn't bring peace to our heart. It doesn't look fair that it should be this way, that the people who live foolishly, when they die, they go to a grave. And the people who live wisely, when they die, they go to a grave. People who live in pain, they die, they go to the grave. People who live this kind of life, they die, they go to the grave. So it is toward the grave that all of us are pointed. So whether we live a life of pain or a life of fulfillment, it all ends the same way. Now, he begins now to give the kind of advice that he feels is the best for living in this world. How is the best way for people to approach living life, considering all these things that we have studied? And verse 9 and 10 of chapter 11, and then all of chapter 12, deal with the idea of getting things straight when you're young. That's really what he's talking about. Get things straight while you're young, and then life won't be so frustrating to you. I'm sure that all of us who are well into, that's the way the Bible puts elderly people, well into, and I suppose that's age, but it's just well into, and I think, you know, I feel well into, okay? Everyone could say, well, I wish that I knew now, or knew back then what I know now. Several writers have said that it's a shame that youth is wasted on young people. And we're constantly reminding our children, well, if I'd known when I started at this, what I know now, I could have really avoided some bad mistakes. I could have had a much happier life. And that's really what this man is saying here. This is what he begins to teach. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. That is, start out as a young person to come to grips with the questions of life. To come to grips with death as a young person. Think about death and come to grips with it. you don't plan on your death, but at least it gets that terrible, frightening specter out of your mind. And also, learn how to live life without constantly being frustrated when things go wrong, because things are going to go wrong. So learn how to live your life according to the Word of God. Look, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. That is, don't wait until you're an old person with the idea of being happy then. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Now, I realize that some people say this means enjoy life in the sense of just letting yourself go when you're young, because, brother, there's a time coming when you can't do it. And that's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is learn how to control your emotions, learn how to control your frustrations, learn how to adopt a biblical, philosophic outlook on life, so that when things go wrong, you're not entirely and completely frustrated and you just come apart and you spend a lot of time just beating your head on a rock and it accomplishes nothing except you get a terribly bruised head and an awful headache. And that's why older people, when we see this happening to younger people, we can say, hey man, just back off. Don't try to beat the walls down with your head. You know, try to go around this thing, be patient. You know, what you're trying to accomplish today by just main strength and forcing your way into it, give it a week or two and there'll be a way made where you can go around it and you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. And we try to tell people, look, sometimes God is sending us a message when we can't break through a door. God is telling us, you don't want to do that. It'll end in tragedy. So when the door's closed, learn to back away from it. But if one is open, be bold enough to walk through it. You see, there's just a multitude of advice like this, but most of the time we become wise enough to take good advice about 50 or 55 or somewhere along there, and it's too late. This man is saying, open your eyes, open your heart, open your mind, and let good, sensible, solid things sink into your life, and think about them so that you can be happy in your youth. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. That is, even the things that are done in youth God will judge. So make sure that in doing these things, you do the right things. Most people who are really happy people learn to be happy and content in their childhood days. Now you think about that. Most of the people that I know, in fact, I guess without exception, the people that I know that are really know how to be happy, to live life in spite of its problems, they learned it as a child. You're not apt to learn it after you get to be 45 or 50 year old. You're not apt to adopt, you may just wear out and you just don't have the energy to fight it anymore, but I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about just so wore out you can't make war with life anymore. I'm just saying that most people learn the attitudes of that create down, deep down satisfaction and happiness. They develop that as a child, as a very young person. And this is what the writer's saying. Learn when you're young how to be happy, and then you can be happy all your life. Don't let the problems of being a young person upset you and get you off your stride so badly that you're just always wanting to be older. Have you ever noticed that's sort of the way we are, so we can get rid of all the problems we have, and then we can really be happy? You know, if we could just, you know, I've gone through this before, you know, if you just get to be a teenager, how happy you'd be, and then if you just get to be 21, and then if you just get out of grade school and junior high, that's wonderful, out of junior high to, you know, high school, and boy, if you get high school, if you just get in college, you'd be the happiest person in the world. If I could just get my own car, I'd be happy eternally, and just on and on and on. When I get married, then I know I'll be happy, and after getting married, whenever we have our children, I know I'll be happy, and then when my children are out of diapers, I know I can be happy then. And then when they're out of diapers, well, when they get out of school, I know we'll be happy. And then they get out of school, and you say, boy, if I could get them out of the university, then I'd be happy. You know, and then when you do, you look around, and you're an old person. It's too late to be happy. Just too late. It's all over with. You've been a bitter, frustrated young person, a bitter, frustrated middle-aged person, and now you're just a bitter, frustrated old person. How do we deal with this? Well, learn as a child. Learn, and this is really involved in this. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. And that really means anger, frustration, or bitterness. Therefore, remove anger from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Now notice, for childhood and youth, and that really means young and then teenage, there's vanity in them too. That is, they can be empty. They can be meaningless. It isn't that we all have a wonderful life till we get old, and then things just turn into ashes. You know, probably there are more young people under psychiatric treatment and treatment for drug addiction and abuse than there are older people. And we're just opening here in the city of Little Rock several institutions to deal with the depressed and frustrated young people. And I need not say this, but suicides among teenagers is greater than it is among older people. Why? Because you can be frustrated and unhappy and disappointed as a kid. So it makes sense, the writer's saying, to get these things straightened out while you're young in life, while it's early in life. Learn to deal with things. Know you can't control some things you can, and cultivate the things that bring happiness and avoid the things that bring guilt and depression. Remembering that God's going to bring all this into judgment anyway. If you're young and you're old, that we're all going to be judged even for the sins of our youth. So he's just saying, get it all together, get it right with God, and do it when you're young. Then you got the rest of your life to fall back on these things and these foundations that you've laid. And it's such a crime to instill in young people the idea. Now, whenever you get married and have some kids, then you can settle down and you can begin to get some real enjoyment out of life and know who you are and know what to do and feel good about your relationship to God. That's an absurdity. Young people can be solid, godly, well-developed spiritually, make good decisions, feel good about themselves, love the Lord, know what to do, have direction in life, and a young person can know the 23rd Psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd, just like an older person can. That's what we're talking about. And he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And that's where we'll start next Sunday morning. This is what he's saying before. Then he enumerates all these besetting symptoms of old age, which I don't recognize but one or two of them, but maybe y'all will. Let's stand together and sing.